morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome all of you today to Hebron Presbyterian Church, to both those in person and those that are online. We pray you will experience the presence of the coming Lord Jesus today and throughout the Advent season. We just have a few announcements today. First, plan on joining us Sunday, November the 30th. That's today. That's what happens when you read instead of talk. At 5 o'clock p.m. for our annual Christmas tree lighting and hymn sing. Invite family and friends to enjoy an evening of festive music, community singing, followed by hot chocolate and donuts. We hope to see you all. Now, parking lot. We will have attendants to help park. We have it striped. That's not the layout for a new parking deck. It's just guidelines to help you conserve our spaces. We hope we'll have a big enough crowd that that will be an issue tonight. Mark your calendar for Saturday, December 20th at 2 p.m. for the Hebron Ladies Christmas Baking Exchange. Join Addison in the church manse. Bring your favorite Christmas baked goods. Now, you got to bake them before you come. They have one oven, so it doesn't happen that day. So bring what you've baked and a container to take home others. A sign-up sheet can be found in Holman Hall. During the month of December, we will be collecting diapers and wipes for the Gooseland Cares to support the families in our community. Please bring any brand of diaper and or wipes to our Holman Hall manager collection area. There is a stronger need for the larger size diapers 4 to 7. For more information, please check the hall bulletin board. Thank you in advance for your generosity. Now we have a note from Pastor Noah.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
As you'll note in your bulletin, there's a little bit of a difference at the beginning. So after the prelude, we will all stand together, and the choir will call us together using song. And then our liturgist will engage in the responsive litany as you see it printed in your bulletin. And then we will all sing the printed words together. So just be aware, it will be on the screen, it will be in the bulletin. But this will be our rhythm as we continue through this Advent season of song and word calling us to worship.
Thank you, Noah. All right, to kind of wrap up, join us following worship as always in Holman Hall for fellowship and refreshments. I'd like to look around and see the decorations and thank those who spent time yesterday to get it decorated. They did a beautiful job as always, but it doesn't just fly up there. Somebody's got to cut it and stick it where it goes. Now, let's prepare our hearts for worship. Please rise. In this season of Advent, we long for God's presence.
Christ is our light and the source of our hope.
In this season of Advent, we search for God's truth.
Christ is our light and the source of our hope.
In this season of Advent, we seek God's guidance.
Christ is our light and the source of our hope.
In this season of Advent, we remember God's promise.
Christ is our light and the source of our hope.
This morning, we light the first candle, the candle of hope. This candle reminds us that God's promises give us reason to be filled with hope. Hope for unity in a world of division. Hope for healing in a world of pain. And hope for peace in a world filled with anger and strife. We remember that Christ is our light and the source of our hope.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we begin our Advent journey, we thank you for the gift of your Son and for sending hope into a world filled with dread. Help us remember that we are your people, and because of your promises, we have every reason to be hopeful. Take away our doubt and fear and remind us that Christ is our light and the true source of our hope. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us read responsively their call to confession. When the Lord comes, he will bring the light to things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. O God, for whom we wait, we confess that we do not know how to prepare for your advent. We have forgotten how to hope in miracles. We have ignored the promise of your kingdom. We get distracted by the busyness of this season. Forgive us, O God. Grant us the simple wonder of the shepherds, the intelligent courage of the Magi, and the patient faith of Mary and Joseph, that we may journey with them to Bethlehem and find the good news of the child born for us.
Amen. Hear God's word to you. When the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit God poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Any children forward for our children's message. Oh. Here comes it right here. Hey, how are you? Good. Okay, we're going to read from this book called Jesus Came for Me. Jesus Came for Me. And we're going to hear the story called Zechariah Can't Talk. Zechariah Can't Talk. So let's read together. God's people have been waiting many years for the Savior God had promised. With every baby boy born to the people, welcome, welcome. You're okay. Hey, friends. I'll start over. We're reading the story. Zechariah Can't Talk. God's people had been waiting many years for the Savior God had promised. With every baby boy born, the people wondered if this baby was the Savior. You can see all their faces here. Zechariah and Elizabeth were part of God's people. They were both very old, and they didn't have any children. But they loved God, obeyed him, and kept on waiting for God's promises. God helps us believe and wait. Zechariah worked in God's house, the temple. One special day, one of God's angels appeared and spoke to Zechariah. The angel said, "God will give you the baby boy you've been praying for. You must name him John. He will get God's people ready for the Savior." Do you see our angel? Zechariah was shocked. He said, "We are too old to have a baby. How can we know God's promise will really come true?" The angel answered, "This is how you will know. God will make it so you can't talk until the day the baby boy is born." Zechariah tried to answer the angel, but no sound came from his mouth. It was like his lips were zipped closed. Zechariah couldn't talk. But now he believed that God really would give them a baby boy. When the baby was born, some friends thought Zechariah and Elizabeth should name the boy Zechariah after his dad. But Zechariah remembered what the angel had said. He wrote on a little chalkboard thing, he wrote, "His name is John." Right away, Zechariah started talking and singing. He sang, "Our waiting is almost over. God is sending the Savior." So have you ever had to wait for a long time? Yeah, do you think, have you had to wait for a long time before? Well, it's hard to wait. It's hard to wait when we're standing in line. It's hard to wait for our birthdays. I wait every year for my birthday. It's hard to wait for Christmas. Sometimes we have to wait for God, too. But remember, God helps us to wait. He helps us to remember his promises and to believe that they will always come true. Okay. That's the end of our story. Will you pray with me? See our prayer hands, guys? This is a repeat after me prayer. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for showing us,
thank you for showing us
that you are with us,
that you are with us
even when we wait.
Even when we wait.
Help us remember,
help us remember
that your promises,
that your promises
will always come true.
Will always come true.
In Jesus' name,
we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you can go back to your seats.
Our Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 49 through 57. Now listen to God's word. "My eyes will flow without ceasing, without respite, until the Lord from heaven looks down and sees. My eyes cause me grief at the fate of all the young women in my city. Those who were my enemies without cause have hunted me like a bird. They flung me alive into a pit and hurled stones on me. Water closed over my head, I said, 'I'm lost.' I called on your name, O Lord, from the depth of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ear to my cry for help, but give me relief. You came near when I called on you, and you said, 'Do not fear.' This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
Come.
Let us pray. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in the waiting, the watching, the hoping, the longing, the sorrow, the sighing, and yes, the rejoicing. Speak to us by your word in these Advent days, and walk with us until you come again. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. We're beginning a new Advent series this week, and it's entitled, What Do You Fear? What do you fear? Insisting on hope this Advent. It's a provocative title, and maybe as we were reading the Old Testament scripture, you were a little put off. Didn't really seem like a Christmassy message. But at the heart of this series is the recognition that even in the time when Jesus was born, all was not right in the world. And yet, God spoke and came in the flesh to bring hope and light in the darkness. Along with this series, there is actually a devotional that we can use. There are plenty of them in the back, and you can get them on your way out or in Holman Hall. They include some commentary on the scriptures that we will read each week. They include some reflections on art that have been specifically made for this series. And there are even some fresh hymns that you could sing that are in this devotional. So I will invite you to pick one of those up on your way out as we journey together, not just on Sundays, but through the weeks during this Advent season. Our New Testament scripture comes from the Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter, starting in the fifth verse. Listen now to God's word. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will name him John." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Some of you may know that over the last number of weeks, there has been a debate in my household, in our household, on the appropriate timing of Christmas decorating. Addison was ready to put up everything just about the time that Halloween ended. While I was really trying to push towards the beginning of Advent, or at least till Thanksgiving had passed. So, as any married couple does, we compromised. The whole of the house would be decorated, except for the Christmas tree, which would remain bare until Thanksgiving had passed. So, as we were getting down boxes and setting the decorations out, preparing, I was struck by how our decorations communicate a certain feeling, I think we would describe it as joy. Really, Christmas decorations exude nothing but joy. This is why many love the Christmas season. From Santas to lights, from ornaments to manger scenes, we love to celebrate with joy and cheer. Brightness and a sense of hope in the world. Now, while this is all well and good, I do think it also distorts our understanding, distorts the picture of what was happening during that first Christmas all those years ago. We like to skip ahead to angel announcements and good news of great joy for all people. Our image is of a clean, bright, cheerful world that we find in the nativity scenes. But if we're honest, this is not the reality. We would not use the word joyful to describe the times in which our Savior was born. Instead, I will argue, we would use the word fearful. They were fearful times. In the days of King Herod of Judea, both the Gospels of Matthew and Luke begin in this way, grounding the events of Christmas in what one scholar calls a world shaped by violence, occupation, and fear. You see, Herod the Great was the tyrannical ruler of Judea, set up by the Romans, who had come in and claimed the land for their own as part of the vast empire. Herod maintained his rule over the land by coercion, surveillance, and outright brutality. He was known to levy extravagant taxes on the poor and the powerless while funding his likewise extravagant building schemes, ports and cities, and even the temple itself. He controlled the religious elites and oversaw every function of the center of Jewish life, the Jerusalem temple. Both government and religion were compromised, co-opted by this so-called king to serve his ends. This was no golden age of peace and spiritual clarity, one commenter notes. It was a time of survival under empire. People lived in constant fear and with longing, a deep ache for a better world, for a better future. They remembered the stories of their ancestors crying out in Egypt and how God delivered them. And they wondered if he would do the same for them now. But you see, it had been over 400 years since the days of the prophet Malachi when the word from the Lord was last heard. Excuse me. In these days, in the days of Zechariah and Elizabeth of God's people, when God was silent, the people's prayer might have sounded something like the words we find in Isaiah, where he says, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." They longed for the saving power of their God to break in. And it's here in the Gospel of Luke that the writer lifts up two people who epitomize the longings and fears of God's people, Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were a priestly couple who sought to live faithfully to the covenant even as they were joined in the people's waiting for redemption. But their longings, we're told, went much farther than national concerns, but to the very core of their lives. For they had longed for, but had no children. Elizabeth was barren, and they were both getting on in years. At this time, barrenness was seen as a judgment from God. So this couple faced not only personal grief, but potentially public shame. Yet Luke insists that they were righteous. They followed God's way amid their griefs and their pains. Much like the state of the entire country, Elizabeth and Zechariah's situation was impossible, hopeless, apart from some miraculous intervention. They longed for the saving power of God to break into their lives. Then one day, as Zechariah was serving his rotation in the temple, offering up incense with the prayers of all the people, the whole assembly, he encountered an angel of the Lord. Now, maybe you've seen on social media those posts that show biblically accurate angels. They're not the cherubs that we find on our Christmas cards. But I might describe them as otherworldly, awesome, maybe awful creatures. For Zechariah, the presence of such a messenger meant only judgment. He was terrified, filled with fear. One scholar comments saying, "Fear in this context is a natural response to divine disruption." And the angel knows this. And so he says, seeking to allay Zechariah's fear, "Do not be afraid, for your prayer has been heard." With these words, God broke a 400-year silence and showed the people, or at least showed Zechariah, that he had not been far away at all in some heaven, but has heard their every prayer. In the angel's message were words of comfort, that God was not locked up in some place far above the earth, but he was always near the people, even in their fearing, even in their dreaming, even in their longings. The hopes and fears of all the years were not wasted, but were gathered up and heard by the God for whom they waited. Both the particular longings of Zechariah and Elizabeth for new life, for a child, joined with those of all the people for a new and better world, a new and better future, God took those into himself. And he held them near. Remember, this is before any announcement of how God was redeeming the world through a babe born to Mary. Yet God breaks in this very moment to say, "You have not hoped in vain." That even as they waited, they did not wait alone. Not unlike Zechariah and Elizabeth, we live in a time characterized by fear. We might even call our day Herodian. We look around us and see instability, social upheaval, political division, economic distress, wars and rumors of wars. We rightly fear for the future of the world. Humanity longs for a better tomorrow. You can feel it in the air. And I'm convinced that the unrest that we see around the globe, the unrest that happens in the young, it's the human heart crying out in hope and in fear. Now add to this the fears and longings of our own hearts, coming to grips with the realities of frail and broken bodies, suffering the seemingly relentless grief of loss, Maybe living in loneliness or simply feeling alone, even when we're surrounded by friends and family. We question the future of our children. We question our very faith. It all seems impossible, hopeless, apart from a miraculous intervention. We long for the saving power of our God to break into our lives. But my friends, it is in this place of longing and waiting, the scripture reminds us that God comes near. And he offers us words of comfort, words of hope, telling us that he is not far away, but right here beside us. Just as to Zechariah, God comes to us and says he hears our every prayer. He feels every ache of our hearts. He draws near to us when we tremble. We may not have a sudden encounter with an angel or even receive a miracle, but we always have the promise of God's presence and the embrace of him who loves us and came down for us. God comes near to us and says, we have not hoped in vain. We have not waited alone. As the church, we do not skip ahead to the bright and joyful Christmas. But in Advent, we remember how God's people waited, and how we now wait with them. We wait with them, holding up our own fears and longings. So as we remember how God broke into the world and took on flesh, and as we look for and wait for that day when he will come again to do it again, to confront our fears and to make us whole, we do so with hope, knowing that God hears us. God cares for us. God is with us even now. Amen. responding to God's word with gratitude and trust, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Oh, inbreaking God, every time we read the story of Zechariah in the temple, we remember that you are the God that draws near. You are the God that breaks into the messy middle of our lives to offer hope, love, and good news. You are the God who sees our fears and offers words of comfort. So once more, present God, we bow our head and hearts. Once more, we quiet the racing thoughts in our minds. Once more, we allow our spirits to lean toward you like trees in the wind. And as we do, we bring you our prayers. God, today we are grateful for the many amazing things in this world that leave us speechless. Thank you for the beauty of nature as we welcome a new season. Thank you for the joy of Christmas preparations. Thank you for homemade meals and the kindness of strangers. Thank you for music that buoys our spirits and scripture that points to your presence. Thank you for the witness of your church around the world, especially in Thailand, in Turkey, and in our own nation. Thank you, God, for all the many blessings which you give each of us, and those especially that we name now in the quiet of our hearts. Lord, it can be hard to put into words how grateful we truly are. However, with our prayers of gratitude, gracious God, we also bring you prayers of grief. We know that Zechariah and Elizabeth were no strangers to grief or longing. So this morning, we also pray for those who, like them, have longed for children and found grief instead. God, we lift up those in this community who have walked a similar journey. We pray for those who lie in hospital beds, desperate for good news. We pray for those who cannot put food on the table and wonder how they'll keep the lights on. We pray for children that feel overlooked, and for adults that feel heartbreakingly alone. We pray for those who mourn in Hong Kong after the devastating fire, for the family of those whose lives were lost.
We pray for the families of the National Guard members, for those who mourn, for those who wait for good news, and for our country so deeply divided. We lift up these with all our griefs and pains, naming them in the quiet of our hearts. O God, the hurt and longing in this world is enough to leave us speechless. So just as you did for Zechariah, speak to us. Remind us that we are not alone and that our prayers have been heard. And as you do, and as we wait, we join our voices together, praying the prayer your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In this time of gifts and abundance, we give a little bit back to the work of God's church in the world as we wait for our coming Savior.
O gracious God, in the darkness of our world, you give us light and signs of hope. Bless these gifts which we offer up, and may they be, with our entire lives, hope for the world. Use them and use us to shine your light, to reflect Christ's light to all who need it. And in all things, O God, may your name be praised. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. the season of Advent when we remember God breaking into the world, and as we long for and wait for that day when he'll do it again, we do so with hope, knowing that God draws near to us, God cares for us, God is with us, even now. So go from this place in that hope to love and serve the Lord. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day, always, forever. Amen.